Even when you teach children, it's not enough to teach them and send them on. You have to stand with them. They need you so much. And teaching is a big part of it, but it's not all of it. You have to live it out with them. You've got to be in there with it. You cannot be selfish and be a successful parent.
Parents have an important role in helping their children live a life of purity. On today's Believer's Voice of Victory, join the Copeland girls as they share their personal wisdom on how to raise godly children.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the day with the Copeland girls. We're gleaning wisdom from Marty and Terry and Kelly. And Kelly is still in the process of sharing some great things with us that she has tried out with her children and others have done with their children and gotten great, perfect, wonderful, blessed, complete results. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Well, you know, I raised my children, especially in their, as they got up to be teenagers, I started pressing in a little more to know how to help my kids be pure. You know, the world that they live in is not the same as the world that I lived in growing up. But the Word says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Grace to forgive is awesome, but grace to walk out something that's harder and the Word of God coming to them that is deeper than the Word of God that I got, which it should be, and that's no reflection on Mom and Dad. Boy, they taught us everything they knew. And so, as I grew up and I had children, I taught them everything I knew. They're able to go beyond I know. And it's good because they need to.
Every generation should be stronger than the one before.
It should. And the devil's trick is to sever, right? As kids are becoming, they need their parents the most. The world says, I read an article the other day, Mother, in a magazine, and it said, tips to talking to your teenagers, said, don't look them in the eye.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it said, don't look them in the eye. Don't confront them in the eye. You'll put
that'll
them
be
off.
The day.
You know, like,
whoa.
That's the very thing that they need is
sure
to see your face and hear
value.
From your heart. And so the world is totally screwed up about how
that's
to.
Right.
And they say, you know, it's good for kids to rebel. It's good for them to.
Good for who? Well,
they say it's good for them
good for
to
the
develop
devil.
Their own person. But you know what? That is a lie.
That's
the Lord has your development.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you developing your own person. He wants you to develop the way He designed you to develop.
And He teaches us to teach our children.
He does.
Train up a child.
And when you back off, because it's hard with your teens, or you back off because, well, I'm supposed to, or you back off just because you do not know what to do, which is probably the case with a lot of people, you know, you let them go and you lose that place of authority in their life. So, and really the thing that you begin to notice is the separator between the kids and their parents is when they start looking at boys, looking at girls, when they start wanting to go their own way, they quit communicating with their parents. And I've been teaching this now to the sixth graders at our church for the last 3 years. And this year we added the fifth graders because I'm telling you, the time is so compressed that
they're taught terrible things from television, movies. And
they are. And, you know, they go to school. A lot of them, a lot of our little fifth and sixth graders in our church, they're taught great things at home, they're taught great things at church, but they spend a majority
That's
of their
right.
time with kids who are not taught. They spend time with people that are having sex. You know, that's realistically, we have to open our eyes as parents
at very
to
young
the,
ages.
To what they face.
You know, somebody was telling me the other day about this, and it never would have entered my mind. This is going to shock you on TV.
Oh, dear. Be sure and get the wide shot.
Yeah, get a shot. Is they're getting the little girls are getting their cell phones and taking naked pictures of themselves and mailing it through their phone to boys.
That's pathetic.
And these are girls that have never dated. Some of them, they're not actively living a lifestyle that their parents are aware of, but they think that, I don't know what they think. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
That's where their value is for themselves.
Yeah, it's like their self-esteem is so low, and they think that no one's going to know, that this is going to, entice those boys to give them attention and contact them and all that, and they think that it's safe, and they think that it's innocent. It's the most bizarre thing I have ever heard in my life. And talk about a different world
than when
we grew up.
And think about your little boy. Now, Max is 16, and I viewed the whole world in a different way until I started raising a teenage son. My eyes, was like, whoa, I didn't know that was out there. Because, think about the little boy getting that text, and he looks at his phone. You got to prepare them for that moment. And so many
times it comes uninvited.
It does, and there's
really many times that just even my daughter, you just hit one wrong key, or you type in something you think
is innocent.
Yeah, just the right, and all of a sudden you have something
time.
In front of your eyes, and it's hard to scrub that stuff out of your mind. It takes the blood of Jesus. And that's what we taught our kids right away, is you go straight to the blood. Mm-hmm. You call on the blood of Jesus to cleanse that out of your mind and to get that image out of there, because nothing else will really. It's a fight to get out. So it's uninvited. And if you don't train your children, or if they don't have some occasion to learn it, they don't resist it. They don't know. They might not even like it, but a little bit more, a little bit more, and it just starts reeling them in, and it's a demonic, awful work of the devil.
It is.
Against our kids.
They say that that most boys by the age of 8 have been exposed to pornography.
But
how many parents have not taught their little boys?
They can't even imagine it.
No.
And somehow children do already understand.
That's wrong.
That there's something not right. We can't quite talk to mom and dad about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kelly, that's something I wish you would touch on, is about parents and children talking. And some of the experiences you have had in training not only children but parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having to lower the age awareness. It keeps coming down further. And the things that we have caught children doing at church, that you come across little kids doing that you would not even imagine, because it's what the environment that they're growing in.
There's no safe place in the natural.
No.
There is a safe place when you teach them these things that we've been talking to you about. There's that in God is the only safe place. You can't put your faith in where you go to church, where you send them to school. Now, you can make things better. But you need to do those things. And you definitely need to listen to God's voice where they go to school, where you go to church. That is a measure of protection.
But you never abdicate your place.
Mm-mm. No.
You have to know. You cannot be lazy and raise children.
No.
You can't.
You can't.
Not spiritually, not mentally, not in any way. You can't put it off on somebody else.
Mm-mm.
And just not even investigate things that happen that are said in class. What teachers say anymore. You just have to stay on top of it.
And you have to be always alert to the spirit. Even where their friends are concerned, if you have a check in your spirit, operate on it. And if you've trained your children right, you can say, they've got a friend or whatever, want to go to their house. You can say to them, I have a check in my spirit about that. We just don't need to do that. And if you train your children to be this way that we've been talking about, they're like, okay.
But you know,
they may not like it.
No, but the object lessons that are learned from that. I learned something from you with one of the terrorist attacks in this nation many years ago. And there was an article written in one of the magazines. In fact, it was a grocery store kind of thing, and you thought, why would I buy that? But there was an article in there, and it interviewed people, the ones that for some reason didn't go that day. and then the ones that knew not to go and pressed anyway. You sat your children down and said, don't make me cross my heart. Don't push me. Because here's somebody that their child pushed them, no, mommy, I want to go. Let me go. And that child didn't live. Mm-hmm. And so don't push me. And we did the same thing with Jeremy. He wanted to go ride his motorcycle. And his dad said, Jeremy, his dirt bike. Jeremy, I don't think you should do that today. Oh, Dad, please, please, please. Tyler and I really want to go. It'll be all right. Jeremy, it just doesn't seem right. Please, Dad. Okay, fine. Well, he broke his arm. And he
didn't forget it.
No, ever. And he said, I will. You know, he's holding this little arm. I will never, ever again not listen to what you say. Well, the other side of that was I was at home and had this sudden, I got to pray in tongues. So what turned out to be a little broken arm, healed in half the time, had a miracle, but could have been disastrous. Don't you know the devil never plans to break your arm? He wants to break your neck.
That's right.
So teaching your children every time you see it, it's vital, and that you teach them to listen to my voice.
And to recognize when they did. There have been times when I said to my kids, that was the Spirit of God.
That's right.
You listened. That was great. Good job.
Yay.
Or that was
and
the
rewarded.
Spirit of God and you didn't listen.
That's right.
and as you teach them these things, you prepare them for if when it does. I read a book recently, and they said in this book, there's a difference between innocence and purity. And innocence is a state of being. And innocence can be taken at any time, whether you're there or you're not there. Purity is a decision made based on knowing the facts and making a decision for purity. And I thought that was really good because, you know, we need to be the one. I always hear parents say, and one of the things I was going to say is when we teach pure life, that's what we call it, when we teach pure life, we do it based on the master plan and the blessing.
That's good.
The master plan and the blessing. That's the way it's not do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
It's God has a plan. It's so much easier, and it gives them a tool.
Yeah.
It's not a law thing. Mm-mm. It's a life with God. So we teach
that's
that.
Good.
Well, we pull in the parents, and we have to teach them. Because their kids need them to walk this out. And so we pull them in, and I can't tell you how many parents, when you first start talking to them about this, they say, well, my child's not ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not interested in, and they want to wait. I'm like, what do you want to wait for? What do you want to wait till they're so knee-deep in this stuff and making their own choices that you have to pull them back and try to gain ground? I said, you take their innocence away. We should be the ones that take the innocence away from our children and replace it with information, replace it with the blessing, replace it with the word, replace it with the master plan, where they can handle. They have the tools to handle what the enemy sends at them.
Ahead of time.
And the first thing that we deal with after teaching them, you know, about the blessing and the plan, we talk about communication. Because that's the thing that's robbed. You go back to the garden. The garden was God's plan. He made it just like he wanted
it.
And he told them just that one thing. Don't eat that tree. It's not going to work out for you if you eat that tree. Eat of that tree. And so the first thing, Satan comes to have a dissenting voice to what God said. Satan had another plan, and he says to Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat from any tree? Well, he's lying. God didn't say any tree. God said just that one. But he begins to bring a dissatisfaction. Did your parents really tell you you can't do this? They're trying to keep something away from you. And that's what Satan said to Eve in so many words.
That's the bottom line, is God's holding out on you.
Yeah, God's holding this wisdom out on you. If you'll just do, you can make yourself have wisdom, just take it into your own hands. You can fix this problem of not having enough wisdom. He said, you'll know good and evil. Well, God.
They already knew good.
They knew good, and God would have taught them and given them wisdom, besides which, she was made in the image of God. She had all the wisdom of God. She had him to walk and talk with. Mm-hmm. But instead, she tried to fix this on her own. And our kids can fall into that if we don't communicate with them. Mother, you know what people kids say to me today? Because we always separate the parents and we talk to them and then we separate and hear from the kids about communication. You know, they don't feel like their parents can handle what goes on in their daily life, so they don't tell them. And the kids say, besides that, when I want to talk, they're on the phone. Mm. They're on the internet.
Wow.
They're watching TV. They said, you know, when they pick up me up from school, if they pick them up from school, they're on the phone. Man, when I started hearing that from the sixth graders, I started turning the radio off. I turned teaching tapes off. I turned everything off when I pick him up, put the phone down. So when I pick Max up from school and we communicate, and you have to work at it. You have to
work and
dig and say, let's talk. And you have to talk about some hard things that you don't want to talk about. But that communication breakdown happened at first in the garden, and it was the thing that led her off. And with our kids, we just have to be aware.
Stole their innocence.
It did.
Well,
it did.
I remember you had a family, tell me if I'm saying it wrong, but I think it was a fifth grader. You'd gone through this with communication, and they thought there was absolutely no problem, had no indication that they'd noticed. But they got in the car after the session at church. They got in the car, and this child said to them, okay, if we're going to communicate, here it is. And they just unloaded everything, and the parents were absolutely shocked, but at the same time so grateful because they were prepared. They had a sense, and it was an open door to interact and to get in there with that child and stand with them. Even when you teach children, it's not enough to teach them then send them on. Mm. You have to stand with them. They need you so much. And teaching is a big part of it, but it's not all of it.
Mm-mm.
You have to live it out with them. You've got to be in there with it. And you cannot be selfish and be a successful parent. You've got to be willing to lay your own life down. Whether it's, I can, Jeremy coming in the middle of the night, Mom, I have an assignment due in the morning in my math notebook, and I forgot all about it. And it's not done. It was huge. It was something he should have been working on for days. Well, you know what? Thing goes back, the covers. We're going to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do his work for him, but I'm going to help him not panic. I'm going to help him to use his faith. I'm going to say, son, we're going to come out all right. So that even now, no matter what trouble my kids face, I can say to them, has the Lord ever let you down? Well, no, he didn't. But Mom and Dad were right there.
Yeah.
So they have a picture of God because Mom and Dad.
That's right.
And we were led. We let them get out on their own and walk a little bit. But they didn't know it. But they were never out of my awareness, my sight, what I knew was going on. So you give them a little room. And sure, you do all those things. But you don't just teach them and then just throw them to the dogs.
Right. And you don't just leave it to your church to teach them either. There's in Rome, and when, you know, you guys painted such a picture of God to me, I knew no matter how dumb I acted, y'all were going to be there, and I knew you'd discipline me, but I knew I'd live.
It wouldn't be fatal.
It wouldn't be fatal, and I always knew that they would be there, and I always knew if there was ever anything that they couldn't provide for me that I wanted, their answer was not, well, we can't do that. It was always, let's use our faith. Use your faith. We'll agree with you. And God always met every need. And as you train your kids in these ways, and as you behave like Terry's was saying, in front of your children, and you put priority on the Word of God, you put priority in your household on the plan and the blessing, then you are able to, your children come up having an understanding that God is the one to look to. God is the one who is my source, and God is the one who makes things work out for me. You know, in Romans 8, it says, in verse 26, it says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. Look at this in verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Now, there's a qualification here, Mother, that has to do with the master plan. If you're not called according to His plan, you don't find yourself in Him, you don't go to Him for answers, you don't look for Him to Him to provide your husband, your wife for you one day, you don't look to Him to provide answers for you, you don't look to Him to choose your college, you don't look to Him to choose what you do with your life. Even I mean, this has to do with kids from 2 to 102. It's the same. If you don't look to Him from those things, you don't qualify for this. But it says that for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose, He makes everything work. And I don't care even what the devil throws at you. He'll make it turn around and work for your good if you'll just listen to Him. He knows exactly how to get out of every situation. He knows the quickest, easiest route.
That's right.
And the more you listen to Him, the quicker and easier it is to get out of what you find yourself from your own choices. Or even from an attack of the enemy. Because just because you live in the master plan doesn't mean the enemy doesn't come at you.
That's right.
But it means that you know what to do. You just go into warrior function mode and you just do the Word of God. And it always delivers you, and amazingly quick.
That's true.
It'll deliver you. But even think about that verse beyond the way we've looked at it in the past, what Satan does, you know, God turns it around. Think about everything working for your good. Think about the principal at school and the friends at school for your children. And think about government. Think about your city council. Think about your neighborhood. Think about nature. Think about things working together. God's designing. He's working it. He's making it work. For the good of those that'll just be called according to His purpose. And I love it. You can teach your children this right here. He's called you. He knew you. He chose you. It's verse 29.
Yeah, He knew you and chose you anyway.
And I know, chose you. And having chosen you, He's called your name. Having called you, He gave you right standing with Him. That's awesome. And having given you right standing, He gave you His glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? And since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up, won't He also give us everything else?
Praise God.
That's living in the master plan.
That's great.
That's living in the blessing. You can teach your children this to the point that they don't even look sideways. They just walk right down that path.
Amen.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Turn right.
Imagine knowing where to go at every turn, how to find your way even if you got lost.
Make a legal U-turn.
And having the confidence that you'll reach your final destination. Most people believe God has a plan for their lives, but with so many roads to choose, how do you know if you're on the right path?
You have arrived at your destination.
In God's Master Plan for Your Life, Gloria Copeland shares 10 keys to fulfill your destiny and help you find and connect to God's perfect will. God has the answers to all of your needs, and He has a personalized plan for every area of your life.
God has a plan for you. And we're told that if we'll seek Him, we'll find it. We'll find Him, and when we find Him, we'll find it. In your personal life, the more time you spend in the Word of God, and the more time you spend talking to God, the more of your master plan you will fulfill.
Gloria's latest book will encourage and inspire you to trust God and believe Him for His plan. God's Master Plan for Your Life is available wherever books are sold. Be sure to get your copy today. Even if you've taken a wrong turn along the way,
recalculating,
God can get you back on course and put you on the right path. Discover God's Master Plan for your life and allow the blessing of God to change your life forever.
Gotten to share all week about God's master plan for our lives, and I'm so excited to get this book. You're going to give me an autographed copy, is that right? Good.
I promise.
Good. I can't wait to read it. And you know what's great is that no matter where you are, who you are, what you're doing, whether you need help in your marriage or in your family or with your children, we all need to know God's master plan for our life. So I want to encourage you to get this book. If you live in the United States, this book is available wherever books are sold. Be sure to purchase your book today. For those outside the United States, contact the KCM office in your area to order. And listen, if you need prayer for final exams coming up this month, we want to pray for you. We want to pray for students if you're in college. So we just pray for God's master plan for your life. We pray that you have wisdom on your tests.
Yes,
we agree in Jesus' name that you would just do excellent, have the wisdom of God on your exams.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Pray in the Holy Ghost.
We want to encourage you to come to the Believers' Convention this summer. Three West Coast Believers' Conventions, June the 30th through July the 5th in Long Beach, California. Southwest Believers' Convention here in Fort Worth, August the 4th through the 9th. And Great Lakes Believers' Convention, August the 18th through the 23rd. I'm going to all of them. That's in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We'll all be there. We want to get the word. And we want to encourage you to come. Bring your family. There's not anything greater that you can do for your children than get them in the convention. Even the young ones, they teach in children's church and in the believers' meetings. We teach the children just like the adults get taught. And it changes children's lives. Commander Kelly's there preaching and others. And just to isolate your children in that kind of an environment instead of being out in the middle of all the junk that's going on around kids today. A lot of grandparents bringing their grandchildren and put them into the believers' conventions and let them learn and grow. Some children don't have that at home. You might think about that. But bring your children, your grandchildren, and come be with us in the Believers' Convention. This is Kelly, Marty, and Terry, and Gloria reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believers' Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
And he sent his word to heal you, sent his word to save you, sent his word to fill you, sent his word to love you.
Jump in to the fullness of blessing. Get totally immersed in God's Word at the 2008 West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location, come to the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days together with other believers from around the world. Come expecting an encounter with God. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.